Happy Christmas from Radio Arian. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas. You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm happy to be here today. I'm going to be talking about a couple of really pressing issues and breaking news events. It's one of the joys of doing things live. But first of all, to my Traditionalist Worker Party comrades, today we got our Christmas/Yule card sent off, so be looking in your mailbox for that. It's also going to include, for our party members, some instructions. We've got a brand new couple different things rolling out over the next few weeks, including a private chat service for our members to be able to better connect ourselves with local chapters and local activists, and an overhaul to our blog, which is really cool. So lots of exciting stuff, and of course, a Merry Christmas to all of my comrades. I had to sign a couple hundred. Jason was there. I had to sign a couple hundred of these things. My hand hurt at the end, but it was worth it. Very exciting. So, and happy to do it, because from my family to yours, this is such an important part of the year. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Early, of course, but Merry Christmas. And joining me today is Mr. Jason Augustus. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Got my coffee brewed and just watching the world burn.
The fire does, in fact, rise. Breaking news right now, coming from Ankara. The Russian ambassador to Turkey has been seriously wounded in what's being called an assassination attempt that's left at least three others with serious injuries. Ambassador Andrei Karlov was reported in critical condition in hospital after he was shot as he delivered a speech at an art gallery in the Turkish capital of Ankara. The gunman allegedly entered the gallery with police identification. He's alleged to have fired a shot into the air as the ambassador spoke and then shot him at least once in a suspected radical Islamic attack. There are also things coming out that he was dressed as a police officer, that he might have shouted Aleppo as he fired. Things are a little murky. Again, the joy of live reporting that we're going to have to wait to see what happens. I would first of all ask for thoughts and prayers to go out to the ambassador who has been shot, to pray for the doctors that are working on him, to pray for him, and to pray for his family in what can only be considered a horrific time. But this is what happens, especially if he shouted Aleppo. I think that pretty much clears that this would be ISIS-inspired, which is not just the Islamic State. That is Israel, that is Saudi Arabia, that is Britain, that is the United States. And that goes far deeper, that this might be revenge. Of course, remember, Turkey shot down a Russian plane earlier this year. Turkey has been supporting, pushing all these migrants into Europe, and they've been very supportive of ISIS. So this would be a continuation of a policy. If it is a radical Islamist attack, it cannot be ignored that this potentially is coming from the Turkish state. The Americans, the Israelis, there's a whole cornucopia, a list of deplorables, of actual deplorables, this could be coming from, and this could seriously escalate things. So, Jason, just kind of what are your thoughts in general about, you're talking about the world burning. I mean, this is trying to assassinate an ambassador, that's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah, it is a very serious thing. And I hate to invoke Putin because, apparently we're supposed to be on some kind of Russian payroll.
I wish.
I'm still waiting on that check to come in here.
We say my government check.
Waiting for Russia.
Yeah, it comes in rubles.
To invoke Putin here, Turkey is not Europe.
Yeah.
Turkey is not there. Turkey is something we eat on Thanksgiving. It's not something we bring into.
Turkey might get roasted for Christmas.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what.
That's where's Vlad the Impaler, man?
Well, I mean, this entire situation of Turkey has been trying to play multiple sides. It was funny when I was in Constantinople for a layover last time I was in Europe. It was so bizarre because the coup had happened, the attempted coup, the possible didn't happen coup. I mean, it's very confusing. But I was on Turkish Airlines, and they had a really glossy propaganda magazine talking about the coup and how Turkey shall overcome and all the good stuff. And there was, from all the, from I got off the plane and all the buildings had these giant Turkish flag banners. And, you know, as an Orthodox Christian, oh man, hashtag triggered. I didn't like that. Freaking, you know, because I just gone from the Golden Dawn offices where you walk in and they've got a picture of the Hagia Sophia, you know, one of the holiest sites in all of Christendom, with the minarets removed and with the Greek flag, you know, the idea that Constantinople will once again be Greek, and it will. But, you know, it's just offensive to be able to see this. I really just don't like Turkey in any capacity.
They're literally butthurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these Turks, they do everything to try and play all sides, and they're explicitly anti-European, they're anti-Christian. The policies of the Turkish state actively persecute the Orthodox Church there, and it have for centuries. Since the fall of Constantinople, they have actively persecuted the Christian population in Byzantium, which was majority Orthodox, and they have literally committed a genocide against the Greek Christian population. And then, of course, they go off and commit multiple genocides over the last couple centuries. But by golly, we have to focus everything on one part of history. You know, that's the thing. The Germans. We've only got to focus on the Germans, make stuff up about the Germans and illegal to question it. But people that are our geopolitical allies, you know, like Turkey is, right? Turkey, big friend of America, big friend of the West. We can ignore their continual genocidal policies. They're restricting the freedom of religion of Christians in the Middle East. And doing things like this, I just don't like them. Like there's a lot of great Turkish people, I'm willing to admit, but when it comes to their government, really over the past half millennia, it's been a minute. I don't like that. Self-determination for everyone except for the Jews and the Turks. That's well, and you know, funny thing. Speaking of Christianity and Orthodoxy. I tweeted out, and I think it's very interesting, St. Paisios of Mount Athos, one of the considered the holiest saints of the 20th century, and he had the ability to discern things and was said to be able to have you know, glimpses of the future, which I think is very interesting. He was a very, very holy man who many people went and visited, including some comrades I know in Golden Dawn that regularly visit Mount Athos, who were able to meet him personally. He was a very wise, humble, giving man. You know, even I'm sure even an atheist would have a hard time finding something bad to say about him. But he said in one of his predictions, not to put, you know, too much in this, but he said the Russians will take Turkey and Turkey will disappear from the world map. And that's from a talk that he gave to his followers where he was actually discussing how it is the Jews that are trying to take over the world. They're using their satanic magic. I mean, hashtag Pizzagate and everything. And this is not new. I mean, blood libel is not a new thing of them abusing and abusing and abusing and abusing Gentile children, and sometimes even killing them and sacrificing them. Our Gentile collaborator elites being engaged in these sorts of things that even if you don't take it from a religious standpoint, they do these evil things together to bond themselves together. I mean, you know, as Hitler said, this is a satanic power. And St. Paisios was talking about that there's going to be a war, there's going to be conflict, and it's going to be the Jews. It's got to be the Jews trying to drive Europe into a war to destroy it, to attempt to destroy Christianity, to attempt to destroy the European people, and Russia is going to get involved and is going to roll into Turkey, and Turkey's going to have a bad day. It's going to have a bad day, and you see things like this happening. You know, I mean, I was thinking about this when the Russian plane was shot down, but you see like things like this happening. Where did this gunman get a police uniform? Where did he get police credentials? Why was he allowed to get this close? I mean, that seems to me like a very fishy situation. And my long story short on this is, man, stuff is on fire. And it could turn into something very, very serious. So as an Orthodox Christian, I'm just sitting here sipping my tea because I think I know how the movie ends. I'm not gonna spoil everything for everybody. But I saw a review that kind of gave me some of the key plot points as it goes on. But Jason, I'm gonna bring in my pagan friend. I'm gonna get off my Orthodoxy horse for a second and kind of know your thoughts.
Well, they're not too much. You know, we're never too far off. That's something I like to say to all my pagan friends who have a habit of attacking Christianity and all these things. We can't deny a lot of the things that have come to pass, a lot of the things that the saints have predicted, like as you said, That would be just a complete, you're ignoring something very clearly true and in your face. But what I will say is this, from a pagan perspective, there is no discerning. You call it Satan, I call it Jew. This is one and the same thing. But this,
six of one, half a dozen of another, you know? It's
I call a Jew a Jew because you can call a Jew a devil, you can call it a swindler, you can call it Satan, you can call it the devil itself. It doesn't care. It falls off him like a raincoat.
Yeah.
But you call him a Jew, and you will be shocked at how he recoils. These are not Satanists. These are not... You could, I mean, according to your religion, yes, they are devils, but objectively, they're Jews. And you say, six of the other, same thing. But I like to just stick to calling them what they fear most, and that is Jew.
Well, and that's the thing, that they're trying to destroy all of our traditions. They're trying to destroy our people. They're trying to drive us into a war across the globe because they see that they're losing. They see that they're losing, and they cannot handle that. They love control, and they're so eager. And I mean, if you look at the writings of the saints on the nature of demons, about how they're so eager, they want to tempt, and they can be very, very smart. They can be very slick, but there will come a point where they're animalistic, where they just want to destroy what is good, what is holy, what is righteous. And that's what the Jews do. I mean, and I don't see another way to understand them. You know, St. John Chrysostom said that that they're like ravenous wolves, and they're more dangerous than wolves. That's why it's the duty of the church to pick up your stone, pick up your staff, and to fight them, because they're more dangerous than vicious animals, because they want to destroy. And there's nothing that I can understand from them other than they are legitimately evil. Their entire ideology, whether it's the pornography industry or the homosexual agenda or globalism, everything about them wants to destroy what is organic, what is natural law, what is, you know, as a Christian, I believe that natural law is God's law, and everything about them, they just want to destroy that. And you know, they could try and demographically displace us over half a millennia. If they wanted to take their time, we wouldn't even notice it happening. If they slowly did immigration, if they slowly did pushing their agenda, but they can't. They're like, literally, take all the boats, fill it, you know, first of all, it's like blow up four countries, and then take all those people, put them on all the boats, and bring them over here.
Well, that's the animalistic part of them that you're talking about, that desperation. It's the animal that can't see into the future for... they want the instant gratification. They need it now. That's why they're doing that now, instead of, you know, like you said, prolonging, waiting. And to a pagan, this is not... something so different as what you're talking about. Evil is just the removal, being completely removed from virtue.
Yeah.
And virtue
and order.
Yeah. Virtue and order. Well, order is virtue. Being so far removed from virtue is being removed from the ultimate morality, the ultimate good. And that's exactly what the Jew is. The Jew is the antithesis of virtue, the antithesis of the will of the gods, the antithesis of the laws of nature.
Yeah.
So we're not far off on this. The Jew is evil, and that's just an objective truth.
Well, and they're trying to destroy things, and we're going to see things ratcheting up, of course. I mean, if you just look, if it turns out the Turkish government is behind this, because you know... Right now, there are guys in the FSB, the Russian secret police, that are on their way to Ankara. They're going to get to the bottom of this, and the Russians don't play games. They're gonna put someone's balls in a vice. They're gonna find out what's going on. And if the Turkish government is behind this, I actually feel sorry for Turkey, because Vladimir Putin is not a leader that takes his citizens being hurt lying down. That's not what he does. He's actually what we call a leader. That believes that he, as the leader of the nation, is the father of the nation, and protects his people, protects his citizens, just like a father would his children. That's the understanding of what real leadership is, that there is a responsibility. You're not a stuffed suit. You're not a politician. You are the head of a giant family, and that's what a nation is. That's what a leader is, and I guarantee it, that if Turkey is behind this assassination attempt, oh, man. I mean, I've a buddy of mine was involved. He lives in Western Europe now, but he was involved in the Chechen wars in the Russian military. And he told me that there were the whole like not leave a stone left on stone, more like blow up every stone so it's dust on dust, you know, like, and they do not play games, and they shouldn't. No country should allow your people to be killed. No country should allow people to persecute and oppress your people, and that was common sense. That's what our leaders did. You know, it used to be speaking of Russia. You know, the Turks used to get mouthy with the Christian population and stuff like that, with the Greeks and stuff, and the Tsar would send his navy and his troops and shell an island or a village or something and go, oh man, you don't want to do this, because we will finish this fight. You're making a decision now. It's totally on you. And that's what we need. That's Putin is, you know, regaining himself. And Russia is its proper position, you know, in the Orthodox tradition as the Third Rome, after the fall of Byzantium, that went to Moscow to be the leader of the Orthodox world, and really the leadership of nationalists around the globe, you know, supporting nationalism versus globalism. So Vladimir Putin, as the leader of the free world, I don't think is going to take this lying down, and we're going to find out pretty soon who's behind this. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, if it's Turkey, we know next year one Turkey that won't be pardoned on Thanksgiving. It's definitely, you know, like you said, Russia don't play no games here.
Speaking of, I just wanted to bring up, I love my daily Duterte. I just wake up and he says something else awesome. For those of you who missed, Duterte admitted, I forget if I covered it in the show, but it was just so good, that he personally executed, when he was the mayor of Davao City, personally executed some of the drug dealers and the murderers to show the police, like, gather the policemen around, you know, like, come here, guys. Bam! If I can do it as the mayor, then you can do it too, to, like, all right, hashtag right-wing death squads. But he recently just came out, just today, with a great quote, and he said, there was a death penalty before, but nothing happened. Return that to me, and I'd do it every day. He was saying that he wants at least 6 or 7 executions publicly, and he wants to hang them because firing squad, you know, that's it's not as humane. He's a humanitarian, really. Rodrigo Duterte, when I think human rights, I think Rodrigo Duterte. So he wants to hang them because, you know, it's a more humane way to handle it. But the majority of the population supports it, and of course the Philippines banned capital punishment back in 2006, and you see what happens when you don't punish criminals. And people were talking about, well, you know, is it really going to, like, fix society? Is it, you know, like, that's not going to bring people back? And Duterte was like, no. This is about justice. This is about getting the pound of flesh. Like, he understands, again, all these other foreign leaders get the fundamentals. It's like, oh, no, this isn't about the criminal. This isn't about his feelings. It's about, you have wronged the state. You have hurt one of the state's children. And he, again, as the father of the nation, as the leader of the nation, has a responsibility to ensure that when the ravenous wolves come and hurt your children, you make a freaking rug out of them. You know, like, you handle it. So, Jason, I want to know your thoughts on old Roddy Duterte, the Filipino Punisher, being more, every day he gets better. Yeah. Like, tomorrow he might come out and be like, Heil Hitler. And then it would just be complete reality would render itself broken, and time would cease existing. But what do you think about Duterte's new position on bringing back the death penalty?
Well, you know, I'm a very, very big Duterte fan.
We can get shirts.
Yeah, I want Duterte shirts.
Duterte, your local drug dealer. Yeah. I think that'd be...
Yeah, he needs to be a verb. I seen a, I don't know if you've seen it, the Washington Post article was a really, like, it looked like a website dedicated to smack-talking Duterte, but it was really just a Washington Post article. Mm-hmm. We could scroll down, and it would show, like, one point, and the picture would change to back up what was being written in the article, and it was just demonizing him so badly, talking about, you know, the children of the drug dealers that he kills, and they're, like, crying over the drug dealer's grave and stuff, and, like, I was trying to grasp how you, like...
He didn't do nothing.
He really didn't do anything wrong. You're trying so hard, using the best graphics I've seen in a long time, the best designs, the best propaganda, to make him look like the bad guy. And it's still not working because objectively the guy is awesome. He's right. He's doing the right thing. He's helping people. And no amount of money you pour into this, no amount of Jewish propaganda is going to convince me, and I highly doubt any moral person otherwise, that what he is doing is anything less than the path of virtue.
Well, and, you know, you look at, like, Aleppo, and, like, it's like, the most hilarious thing. It's like, hey, guys, we're gonna fight ISIS. It's like, hell yeah. And then it's like, oh, wait, ISIS has kids. Like, they've got, like, families. It's like, well, we can't fight in Aleppo because there's children. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I protect the sanctity of life, especially the unborn, and I think children who were brought into something, it's not their fault. It's not like we should go after the kids, but this idea that these drug dealers, I mean, the death rate in the Philippines and the broken families and the rise in crime and everything like that, directly tied to drugs. That where are the Washington Post articles, New York Times articles about the families in the Philippines of, like, the dad who got killed walking home from work by some drug addict who robbed him and killed him and orphaned his family? Like, where is the story of, like, the mother who lost her daughter to drug addiction? Well, you know, like, we're talking about those victims. This is cleaning house. That's all this is. It's cleaning house, and no one cares about the victims of these crimes when they're normal people. But when it's to attack a nationalist, then oh, it's, you know,
that's the last card that they always use. It's always, you know, that Simpson meme that think of what about the children? Oh, the children. That's how you know that they've completely run out of talking points, when they start invoking the children. Because we, as, you know, pro-choice, the coffee needs to kick in!
All right, you're out of the party, Jason.
Yeah. Oh, you found me out. You found me out here. Like, we're pro-life, so we defend the sanctity of life on a daily basis, yeah. And we're the bad guys. But all of a sudden, we're supposed to care about the lives of ISIS children. Yeah. They're invoking their last card that they have on the table because they're completely out of a rational argument here.
Well, I mean, what isn't about human rights and choice, about taking a fully developed baby that can feel pain, has a heartbeat, and, you know, all these things, delivering it to the neck, and then stabbing it in the back of the head, and putting a vacuum cleaner to suck its brain out as it screams in pain, and then throwing it away as medical waste. Is that not human? You know, that's really the thing. Like, just think about how horrible that is. Like, just even, like, not from a religious perspective, like, just murdering children. Like, and that's human rights? It's a woman's right to do that? Human rights is a Jewish propaganda term. I hate this talking about human rights and all this stuff, because these people are opposition. These people are so evil. They're so evil. They will let, I mean, it, just look at what's happening in Appalachia with the heroin epidemic, with families, communities, and entire regions destroyed. When we've got an open southern border where heroin is coming through the border, that's where it's coming from. It's not like we're growing it here homegrown in Indiana. No, it's coming across the southern border. Won't secure the border, of course. Democrats want an open border. Politicians won't do anything. It is killing thousands of our citizens, breaking apart tens or hundreds of thousands of families. And nobody cares. But, of course, we can murder the unborn. That's human rights. There's not a human right in Appalachia to, like, clean water, or, like, schools, or roads that function, or an economy that has justice, but it's a human right to murder the unborn, and for two dudes to get married, and if you disagree, throw the person like Kim Davis in jail. Everything about these buzzwords of the system, they're the worst. They're the worst, and they are liars. They are deceivers, and that is why I'm so glad to be on the side of nationalism and tradition, because that's where, like, the Putins and the Dutertes of the world, they're the good guys. I don't care what you see in the Jewish media, this lying press, they're the good guys, and the system is losing hold because the normal people are realizing that they are the good guys. They're figuring it out, that these are good guys that are doing good things for their people and for the world. And these globalists, they're running out of traction. I really think so.
Yeah, every time I think of Vladimir Putin or Rodrigo Duterte, I always hear, like, an electric guitar playing along with it. It's like, it's like, you know that they're the good guys, and they're the cool guys. So you want to be on the side of the cool guys. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. And if it means that our nations belong to our people again, and, you know, this is for everyone. Everyone gets their nation back. Everyone's self-determined again. Everybody can walk the path of virtue again. Then yeah,
I still can't get over Duterte talking about how he would drive around on his motorcycle as mayor and just like, I mean, it really was like Death Wish, like setting up for like, you know, hoping someone would come and like try and mug him or something. And then he just deal with it. I mean, that's an alpha male right there. And that's a man that understands his responsibility, that you don't have rights if you're committing these antisocial behaviors that are killing people. You're not a victim of the system if you're peddling drugs to your own people, if you are enslaving your people to addiction. You know, if you look at the century where the British Empire was over China and what happened there, it wasn't the British Empire. It was the Jews. We detailed that very extensively in the front story of our first issue of Action. And I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing, but these Jewish merchants were the ones that wanted to addict everyone to opium so that they could extort the people and take the resources. And it wasn't going back, of course, to the British people. It was going to these Jewish coffers, is what always happens with globalism. And that's like when Mao came about. You know, lots of critiques of Mao, obviously, not a communist fan. But he made it a death penalty to be caught dealing opium because he saw what happened to his people when the Jews, it was the Jews, were able to enslave his people for over a century. And, you know, of course, when we, you know, bad things were said about colonialism and stuff like that, of course, I believe in nationalism, self-determination, but it wasn't like the British dock worker or like the member of like the British Navy was doing this. It was these Jewish merchants. They do it in every country. I encourage anyone who hasn't read The Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, a multi-volume set from the Nation of Islam explaining the slave trade and the Jewish role in it. Absolutely amazing work. But these Jews go in every country and try and subvert things to addict people to pornography. That's why when the Israelis went into Gaza a few years ago, they started broadcasting on all the stations pornography. They use it as a weapon. They use control of the media as a weapon. They use drugs as a weapon. So that's why the Jewish media, because you think, what's the big deal about the Philippines? Why is Duterte on every major American newspaper, like, day after day after day? And the reason is because drugs are used as a weapon by the Jews. They're used as a weapon to enslave you, to make you weak, to make you selfish, to tie you to that drug instead of tie you to your people. So him killing drug dealers is the same as a dude, you know, marching for nationalism in Europe because it's fighting the Jew because they want to enslave the entire planet. I'm going to turn it back to you on that.
Yeah. The Jew does bad things.
these guys!
The thing is that these things, drugs, pornography, you name it, whatever it is, the Jew has not created any of this. These things were creations for our people, by our people, for our people, to be things of beauty and things to help. What we now know is pornography is just it's a perversion of the beauty of, you know, the female form. They've turned it into something really horrible, but that's not what it was. That's not what it was originally, and the same thing with drugs. They're meant to help us when we're sick.
Yeah.
They're meant to get us better, but that's not what the drugs are doing now. The drugs are now making us all loopy, messed up in the brain, and so yeah, we have to fix it in the... Throw the Jew down the well.
Some of my country can be free. Well, I mean, no, you're totally right on that, Jason, and that's actually, going back, you know, talking about orthodoxy, many of the saints refer to pornography as the devil's iconography because, you know, for instance, if an icon is a window into heaven, pornography is this total perversion, as you said, of sex between a man and a woman to be able to create children and have a family. The dehumanization, the pushing of the interracial pornography, even though interracial pornography isn't profitable. We've actually covered that as well within our paper and on our website, that it's not profitable for them, but they do it anyway because it pushes this agenda. They want to destroy if it is wholesome, if it is family-oriented, if it is nationalistic, if it makes you stronger in mind, body, or soul. They want to take the inverse of that. They are the opposite of what is good. They are the opposite of what God created, of what natural law is. They are truly the forces of chaos unleashed upon this world to upend everything that has a natural harmony and order. That, like you said, they're supervillains of, like, if you sat down and were like, let's create the worst, most evil Bond villain that's over the top, totally out of control. You could not come up with the Jews. They are so over the top trying to destroy everything good. So evil. it's unbelievable. I'm going to turn to you for a final thought.
Okay. Final thought. The problem is really being raised in it from this generation. is that this is the norm to us. So for us to look at pornography and say, you know, for the average white kid who's just like in his late teens or early 20s, to look at pornography and to think this is a perversion of something that was once beautiful and is now this disgusting thing that's trying to kill me, they're not going to see it that way. They won't do it. And this in the same way as drugs, when they're taking their antidepressants, they're not seeing it as something that's killing them. They're seeing it as something, oh, you know, this is just a natural part of my life. What we have to do is not tell them that the Jew has done this to you and it's bad and it's killing you, because they're not going to hear it. What we have to do is to offer solutions.
Yeah.
You know, solutions to these problems, you know, while obviously telling them along the way that this is killing them, this is bad for you, that you're going to die. But, you know, there has to be some kind of alternative here.
Well, that's the thing. We need to lift them up. That needs to be our mission, to inspire our people, make them stronger in mind, body, and soul, and make our people great again. So, Jason, thank you as always for being here. Love it. Comrades, amazing to be here. Looking forward to tomorrow being joined by Dr. Matt Johnson to break down the what happened today in Ankara and the details that come out from there. But I got to look forward to being back tomorrow. Everyone have a great day, and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.